Okay, we're holding Bava Basra on your test. We are up to the second line on the Amid. Okay, Lo Nivreches Lakovsin, right? The Mishnah was saying that you can't set up this like a launderer's pool near his neighbor's wall unless you distanced three tefachim. So it's like this: Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Lo Shana Elamin Ha Mach Matzan. This is only talking about like the type of soaking pond, right? Where you leave the clothes, so the dirty clothes go in there for like many days. That's what the Mefarshim explained. Ava min hanadyan, but if you have a little washing pond where you know you're actually working in there, arba amos. In that case, you have to do much more, right? Dalet amos is again we'll use Rav Moshe's measurements of 7 feet 3 inches. Tanna mihachi, we have a brisa that says like this: Nivreches akovsin arba amos. The launderer's pond that you're using, you have to do dalet amos from the wall. But didn't we learn shlosh tefachim, three tefachim? Elav shma mina kid Rav Nachman. So it must be like Rav Nachman. The schilik is that when you're doing the mach mitzan, this is the that's the soaking thing where you keep it for many days. Ikad Ramiluhu Mirmo, right? Some says it's a kasha, right? The Mishnah and the Braisa are really arguing. Tanan, we learned, again, the way you know it's different between a Mishnah or a Braisa is the number of nuns that are used to introduce it, right? Tanan has two nuns, so that is a Mishnah. Right? Tanya, with one nun, is a Braisa, right? Tanan, all these different ways, it's a good trick. I think Erez Avraham pointed that out once. That's what you remember. So Tananza is two nuns. It's talking about a Mishnah, right? Nivreches hakovsin, when you have the launderer's pond, shlosh tefachim, that's three tefachim. V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa with one nun, arba amos is really four amos. It's a big difference, three tefachim versus four amos. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba, Bar Avua, lo kasha, it's not shver, kan min hamachmatzan, kan min hanadyon. One's talking about the soaking pond, right? And one's talking about the washing pond, right? Again, for the soaking, that's only three tefachim. When you're actually washing, that's the dal amos. Rav Chiya Breid, Rav Avyo, Masni Lo Behedye, he's told us beferish. He said, Elaim Kain, Hirchit Misfas Hamech Matzan, Lekoisel Shlosha Tefachim, unless you distance yourself from three tefachim from the pond and the wall. Visab Besid, okay, this was talking if you're digging a pit, you have to get the same thing, three tefachim from the property, and you have to plaster it with this sid, with lime. See, by Luhu, he asked the following question. V'sad basid tanan, odilma osad basid tanan. How do you learn this? Is it and you plaster it, meaning the walls have to be plastered in addition to distancing it to three tefachim? Or is it like, no, you have a choice. You could plaster with the lime instead of digging it in three tefachim. So pshita, it's poshid, it's obvious, the vit sad basid tanan, that we learned it, that you and you're plastering it. Why? Why is it so posh that way? Because the isal kadaitach, the osad basid, it's a choice, it's an option, right? Tanan, that's how we learned it. Im kain, the arvinhu lilis ninhu, right? So just combine it and teach it together. If the same halacha applies it in all cases, so in all of the Mishnah's cases, you could have made a big an error if you could have mixed it all together and taught it all one shot. So Gemara says, one second, dilma mishum lodami hai hezeka l'hai hezeka. No. Maybe they had to be taught separately. You couldn't just combine it all because each type of hezek over here is unique. It's not similar. Each one has its own unique way of damaging. Reisha, right? The beginning of the Mishnah, this is hezek de mesuna. That's the type of damage that happens through moisture. And Seifa, the second part of the Mishnah, is talking about hezek de hava of the hevel is the heat or the steam, right? That's what causes it. So you can't really put it all together. So Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sela haba b'yadayim. This is the type of soft rock that it's like it crumbles in your hands. Zechoy for boro mikan, zechoy for boro mitan. Each one can dig their pit, their bore on each side. Zemarchik shlosha tefachim v'sad v'sid. This one digs three tefachim, then he plashes it with the line. Zemarchik shlosha tefachim v'sad v'sid. And this guy also, makes his boar three tefachim in plasters and line. So it's the diak taima de bo b'yadayim. The reason that you're allowed to you plaster it is because the rock that you're using is very soft, and this type of like sand or whatever it is gonna crumble in your hands. Halo bo b'yadayim, but if it's not that type of rock, right? then lo, you don't have to. You don't have to stab it. You don't have to plaster with the lime also. So Rav says, 1 second. I'll tell you not like that. Even if we're not dealing with this soft type of material, you also would have to plaster with a lime. But there was a chiddush why it was necessary to teach the case of this type of soft, like crumbling sand, this type of rock. Why is that? Says the Gemara, since you have to, it crumbles in your hand, you might need a bigger, like a bigger space, a bigger distance. So kamash malan, that's why the chesh is, no, it's not. You don't need to. You only need to use the three tefachim. Okay. So these are things you had to do from the solid, like residue, right? That it was pressed free from its oil, and the zevel is the manure and the salt and the lime and the rocks. So you have to do three tefachim, right? Someone says tanan hosam. We learned now this is talking about hatmana, Mishnah in Shabbos on the Mem Zayin Amud Beis. But met tonin ubam ein tonin. What are you allowed to do hatmana with? Right? You have this cooked up dish, you know, your chompot back in the day, and you're allowed to be do hatman with something that is maimed hevel, but you can't do hatman with something that is mosif hevel. And the difference is, it's something that's going to just maintain the regular heat that you're allowed to do, but you cannot do something in with a material that's going to cause it to increase its heat. It's going to get, it's going to conduct the heat, so to speak, and it's going to get hotter and hotter. So that's the background to understand what the mission is going to say. So it says like this. Ain tamin lo be gefes, lo be zevel, lo be melach, lo be sid, lo be chol, bein lach and bein yevashim. So you're not allowed to use the solid, this like residue stuff, the manure, the salt, the lime. You can't use sand, whether it's wet sand or whether it's dry sand, because all these things are mosif hevel, right? They increase the temperature of whatever pot that they're insulating. S'mor says, ma'ishna hocha dektani soloim, v'lo ketani chol. Why did the Mishnah teach rocks and it doesn't teach a case of chol? And what's the reason why over there it taught the case of the of a chol, right? And it did not teach the halacha by the slime, by the rocks. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, right? There's a very practical reason. Nobody does that. You don't do hatman with rocks. So they taught chol. So Amar Abaye. One second, would people, you know, insulate with like the, this is the Gizei Tzemer, is like the wool, it's the fleece, right? And then he's like, also this argamon is like purple wool, right? Titania, we learned in a braisa, tomne be Gizei Tzemer, vitzipe Tzemer, where you're allowed to do hatmana with the wool fleece with these types of these clumps, right? Right? Lashon shel argamon, mochin, right? These types of like soft materials, like a swatch, that's the way they translate it. They metal to some, but you're not allowed to move them because they're mukta, right? So what do you see from here? You see the people who do use these things for hatmana. So Ella Omar Abayi, no reason why it doesn't have to specify it all. Yagid alav reo, his friend is going to testify on him. We told in Shul the nice with the Magali Mukos that there was this anonymous person who made a deal that he wanted to be buried next to the Magali Mukos. So he went to the it's a short story, I'll tell it quickly. He went to the Gabbai, so to speak, the Chevra Kedisha, and they had like a lot of debts, and the guy in a moment of temporary weakness decided, okay, I'm gonna let this stranger buy the plot next to the Magali Mukos, because you know, who knows, in 100 years from now, I'm not going to be alive. He's not going to be alive. No one's going to know what happened. So he sold it to him. And then, in Lamaisa, what happened? The guy, the stranger who bought the plot, he passed away. He was nifter. So the Gabbai was like, oh my goodness, what do I do now? So he didn't bury him in the plot that he bought next to the Magali Mukos. He buried him like on the outskirts of in the cemetery, but like nowhere near where he actually did. So he came to him in a dream. Then I says, we had a deal. I signed the dream. The guy's terrified. Like wakes up, goes back to sleep. The second night, he comes to him again in a dream. Says, "You had a deal." So at this point, the Gabbai confesses. He goes to the Rav and he says, he tells him the whole story, how he sold him the plot, but like, he doesn't know who he is. And he's coming to him in dreams. Right now, he says, "You know what? Tell him to come to me." So the following night, this individual comes to the Rav of the town. He says, "I want my plot next to Magali Mukos." So the Rav says to him, "Look, I'm going to instruct the Chevra Kedisha to open up the grave next to the Gamagus. And if you're really on the Madrig, you'll get there yourself. So that's what happens. This is brought down. This is Maisa. I heard it from Rabbi Levi Gorelick. It's brought down in the actual archives in Krakow. And so they did that. They opened up the grave, and then the next night, the guy's body was found in that grave. They had no idea what it was. So what are they going to write on his tombstone? So they quote this pasuk in Eiv, Yagid Alav Reo. His friend's going to testify about it. His friend's going to tell us who he is. We don't know who this guy is, but obviously he's on the big madrig. He's next to Megalimukos, and he's doing some sort of, things that doesn't make sense. All Piteva, Yagid Alav Reo. Okay, that's the story. Now back to the daf. Tanahacha Salayim Dehu Hadin Lachol. We taught Salayim, and really the same din applies to the sand as well. Tanahasam Chovu Hu Hadin Lachol. And we taught by there the case of the sand, and the same din would apply by the rocks. So Omli Rava. So Rava says to Abaye, I Yagid Alav Reu. If this is that his name is going to testify about him and tell us about him, List Ninhu Lekulahu Bechada. Just do all of them in one case. Just tell the halacha in one case, and then we'll figure out all the rest. So El Omer Rava, it's like this: is Rava, Hosam Hayne Taima Lo Kitani Slime. You know what the reason is why we didn't teach the rocks over there by the Hatmana? Not because like people don't use it. Mishum de mish. I'm sorry, Shat Chile. It breaks it. It. Now the question is how to learn. They scratch the pot. If you're not going to use them, you're not going to put the rocks on there. And here the reason why I didn't teach the chol mishum the machamime chayim umigrire karir. It heats the hot things and it cools the cold things, so it's not going to cause any damage to the walls per se. Hatani Rabbi Oshia chol. Rabbi Oshia had a brisa so that you have to put sand. You can't put the sand. You have to actually distance the sand from your neighbor's kosel. So hasam b'misuna. So over there, talking about wet sand, because it's wet, then that could actually, that's how the halacha is, that you have to, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is this way, that you have the wet sand has to be separate. You can't put it right up next to his property, because the taka would, in fact, damage. So Tana Didan, Amelisne Lokme, the Mesuna. So our Tana also should teach this, right? And we'll make no kimta, and we'll explain this, talking about the wet sand. So Ha Tana Le Amazamayim, right? Because we taught the case of the water. The water, that brings the dampness, and therefore, since you're talking about the damp, obviously water is damp, that's the damage that's caused to that type of moisture, so then you don't need to tell me about the Masuna case, that's included in as well. Otami lo kitani amasamayim. Of course, one second, that's not right. You only tell me there's only one case? There's one case of dampness? No. The Ketani Nivreches Akovsim. We have the case of the launderer's pond, right? So you see from here that the Mishnah does teach cases, even though they're similar. They are similar, each one. So if that's true, that you do teach similar cases, even though the damage is a thing, it should have taught the case of Chol. Even if you tell me it's this type of damp soul, damp sand that's going to damage all of the ends of mine. No, because you see here by the case of the but the launderer's pool, that's also. So it says like this. No, really, both of these specific cases are necessary. And he wants to explain why. If you would have only taught the case of the amasamayim, the water, because it's kavua, it's like fixed. Right? There's water that's constantly passing through it. But in the case of the launderer's type of pond, which isn't fixed, sometimes there's water there, sometimes there's not. So I would have said, you don't have to distance it. It's not kavua in that place. In the opposite way, if you would have taught only the case of the launderer's doing the pond, so you would have thought that's the case we have to distance, mishum the kavu v'kaimi, because the water is, like it's gathered together, and it's standing in one spot, and then it could leak out. But when you have a flowing water, right, it's constantly moving in that case, I would say you don't have to necessarily distance itself. So each one has a reason why it was necessary to teach both cases. So then you wouldn't have known one without the other. Okay, continues now. Marchikin es ha-zroyim ves ha-machresha. You have to the seeds, right? You can't put the seeds in the plow, right? And the other things like the and all those things you have to distance them from. Someone says zroyim typically mishum machresha. Why did you have to mention the seeds case? Just figure that out. Learn it out from the case of the machresha, right? That You have to, yeah, since if you think about it, if you, the ground has to be plowed before it can be sown, right? So that's the case of Timi the Machresha. So it says it's talking about Bamapolis Yad. That's like a thing when you throw it down in one shot, and that you can do without doing a Choresh. You don't have to plow that. You just drop it in. So Machresha. Okay, so you talk about the case of Blay, tape a clay, Mishim Zroyim. So do the opposite then. Don't teach you the case of Machresha. This you figure that out from the fact that it's in the Zroyim. Someone says no, bechoresh leilonos. It could be a case where you were planting. You're planting. I'm sorry. You're not planting your choresh. You're plowing. You're plowing for the trees. Typically, mishum maya. So you could learn this out from the machoresh has to be because of the water. I mean, if there's going to be trees there, you got to get water there to irrigate them, right? And then that should be not allowed. So tana be eretz yisrael kai. Our tana was talking about. Eretz Yisrael, the Chesiv, Vimtar Shemaim, Tishtemaim. Pasuk in the Chumash Devarim, that in the white rains, meaning you don't need Amas Shemaim in Eretz Yisrael, because, you know, there's many statements of Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch has a special Hashkach over it, and he takes care of it with the waters, etc. So it says, the name is Venus Edizroyim, now on the top of Amen Beis, Litzdodim Ka Mishtarshi, that their roots are on the sides, meaning that the way the roots grow, they go sideways. That's going to be mazik. And one second, Hatzanam, we learned the Mishnah in Klaim, Hamavrich esagefin barit. So to be mavrich, something's interesting. The way this means, it's in Hashkaf, they talk about, they quote this Mishnah a lot about the Hashkaf behind making a brach. That means like literally the verb mavrich is where you have a root of something, you bring it down, pull it into the ground, the root goes under the ground, you pull it back up at a later part. Right, that's the verb of to be mavrich something. It's like you're bending the geffen, you're bending the ground, the bean. But it really means to bring something down into this world. So that's what a bracha does. Right, the hashkafa that a bracha brings down hashpa shef into our lives. So we learned the Mishnah in Kilayim. Hamavrich es hagefen baretz. You're bending the down into the ground. Right. So what happens is then the roots produce a new vine. In ein agaba ofer shloshet tfachim. If it doesn't have three tfachim of dirt over it. Lo yavi zerale, then you're not allowed to put any zera, any seeds on it, because that's going to be overclaimed. V'tan alam, we learned on this Mishnah, aval zerei esat zdodim ilach ve'ilach, but you are allowed to plant on to the sides of this thing, your mavrich. So that shows what you see from here, that we're not concerned that it's going to spread out sideways, right? So if we're not concerned it's going to spread out sideways, so why can't you plant it right next to the wall? Why is it definite? That way you have to make the distance. So Amar Rechaga b'shem Riyasi Yosi b'pnei shemach lidin es hakarka malin ofer tichoach. You know, when you break up the ground, that causes all the loose soil to like rise up. That's what's going to damage the foundation. It's not a question of the roots spreading out, but when you're breaking up the ground. Yeah, I mean, like it makes like the seeds creates like holes in the ground, like a mole would make seeds or some holes in there, stuff like that. Okay, the next part of the mission is the S Mei Raglayim in a Koisel Shlosh Tefachim. The Mei Raglayim, the urine has to be three tefachim away from your neighbor's wall. So I'm Rabbi Barbar Chana, Motel Ar Lahashtin Mayim Betzad Koisel Shachavero. You're allowed to urinate along the wall of your chaver. Tichsiv quote the pasuk in Malachim Aleph. The Hichrati LaAchav Mashtin Bekir VaAtzur VaAzuv VaZuv. Be Israel, right? This is telling where he's going to be. I think it was Rav Shakev saying that. V'ha anan tanan, we learned on this, right? The esmei raglayim in akoyisa shlosh tefachim, right? So how? Because you see from the pasuk that they normally used to urinate against the wall. Like, that was a common thing. But we just said you have to be marchik yourself three tefachim. As someone says, hash hosom over there, the Mishnah is talking about b'shoifchim, when they would pour it, they would urinate into like a pot or something like that, right? Not you know directly from the body, but that's what they're talking about. They're going to be up against the wall. So tashma learned in the brayso lo yishpoch od mayim betzad kogs l'shel chavero el imkein hirchi yimena shloshet tefachim. You shouldn't pour water. Right, near the side of the wall, unless you distance yourself three tefachim, right? So meaning, it's like this, it's like a kavachomer. If you can't pour water, which is, you know, I guess like no chemical reaction or anything like that, then how much more so, kavachomer, you should be allowed to do the mei raglayim. So when it says, no, hasam na mei b'shoifchim, over there it's also talking about you know, pouring it from a pot. Tashma lo yashtin on a mayim b'tzad koyslo shel chavera el imkin herchik menu shloshu tefachim. When does this apply? When are we talking about this? When you have a brick wall, right? Some of the bricks were only, were dried by the sun. So if like that, they could get ruined if they would get wet. But if you have stone walls, right? You have to distance yourself far enough so it's not going to be mazik then. How much is that? Tefach. Right, it's one tefach. V'shel tzumma, if it's a hard rock, right, then what? Then you're allowed to urinate there. So tiyuvta rabba barba to rabba tiyuvta de rabba bar barachana tiyuvta. Okay, right. So then it was shlugged up. We rejected his statement. V'ha rabba bar barachana krok amar. One second, but he had like a pasuk over there. The pasuk with achav, right? So how can you say he's in? So hasam hachik amar. Right, this is where you have to explain what the pasuk is talking about in Malachim Aleph. Afilu mina d'darkei le'ishtune bekir lo shavim nele. Even the things that, you know, I'm not going to leave achav, even something, there's normal ways to do that. Right? What is the, I'm not going to leave anything, what item normally pishes against the wall? Ma'inihu kalba, a dog. Meaning the pasuk's not talking to people at all. Meaning, I'm going to have a dog left over. And that's how you understand what the threat was at that point. Amar Rabbi Tovi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel Rakik Ein Mamayit Bechalon. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the transfer of how tuma transfers. It can go through a window. Right, tuma's ohel can travel through a space that's open. There has to be a certain dimension. So, lamashal, you have like a mace or a significant part of a mace in one room. So the tuma can go to a room next to it if there's a window, as we're going to see. So, which Shmuel says, if you put this rakik, it's like a cracker, a wafer, or something like that. So then, that thing ain't a mite b'chalon. That doesn't reduce the size of the window. We'll see. We'll explain why that is. But the size of it is, even though it's there and like, you know, it's physically taking up space, it doesn't necessarily, in halachic terms, reduce the size of it. And therefore, the tumah is going to spread and transfer from the tumah's ohel will spread from one room to the next via the window. So when I ask my Rakik, what are you specifying a case specifically about this Rakik? Right? I feel all the manami, even a thick piece of bread or something, that's not going to miba mayit the chalon and reduce the size measurements. So lo mi boy ka'amar. No. What he's speaking about the time, it's not even necessary. Like this. Lo mi boy ava. It's not even necessary to tell Malach about big thick bread. Kivad ichazile lo mevatlile. Because someone could eat it, he's not going to be mevatlit. It's not going to stay there. You know, you have something that's like a big muffin or something like that. Someone's going to come along and eat it. That of course is going to be removed. Ava rakik de mis. Even though it's this little wafer thing, it's a mis. It's disgusting, right? When you put it in the window, say aim a batuli mevatlile. You would have meaning with it would become batul, and it would be like considered as if it's like part of the house. And since even though it's part of the house, it would yes reduce the size of the window, and therefore the tumor would not spread from one room to the next. So kamash malan, not like that. That's the chiddush of Shmuel, that even this rakik, even this thing that's like disgusting, you can use it for something. You know, you feed it to an animal, right? Just because I wouldn't eat it, my dog will eat it. Dogs eat anything, right? So therefore you can give it to your dog. Therefore this rakik is not going to become part of the window. Only ask 1 second, is there a tape of lay, the habi lay dova shahu mekabel tumu. Let's learn out this halacha from this fact that this rakik, this little wafer thing, is something that is mekabel tumu. It's itself can be mekabel tumah. It's not going to be a chetzitza. It's not going to be like a barrier to block the tumah from spreading, right? So Mara says it's talking about shenilosh b'mei peros. It's something that was needed in fruit juice. So the fruit juice is not one of the yad shachar dams. Not one of the type of machshirei that would make it susceptible to becoming tummy. So what would you have thought? You would have thought that since it was nilish b'mei peiros, it was needed in the fruit juices, it's not going to become tummy, and therefore it could be makiv. It could count to reduce the size. Okay, now I was going to ask Akasha on Shmuel Mesiv. Kupa malaya tevin v'chavis malaya grogros. You have a basket that's full of straw, or you have this type of like a barrel, like a klicheris that's made that has dried figs, and what do? You place them into a window. So Rowan, so we have to look and see what's the din. Kol she'ila yinaklu v'yecholin tevin v'grogros la'amo b'fnei atzmum chotetzin. If you could stand, if you take the basket of this barrel made away, and the straw, these grogros, the figs, would stay there on their own, so in that case, it would be chotetzin, it would be a barrier, and it would block the spread of tuma. V'im la'av, but they couldn't stand there, then in chotetzin, it's not going to be a barrier. So what's the kasha on Shmuel from this? Ha-tevin chazinu hento, but you could feed the tevin, right? You could feed the to your animal, right? Yeah. So therefore, since you would feed to them, it's very likely you're going to take it and feed your animal something to eat from this. So if it's going to be taken away, then it should not be considered to be part of the actual built-in structure, and it should be chotetz. So my answer is no. You know what it's talking about? Besaria. It's talking about this, like, rotted straw, which even an animal would eat that. I mean, we just said, like, a dog would eat anything. Oh, not so fast. No, a dog wouldn't eat anything. I mean, a rotten piece of food or something like that. They're not gonna use it. Even an animal would eat this. 1 second, so you have this rotted straw, chazadatina, but you could still use it for clay, for making bricks. Someone says, nope, it's no good for that. The isbei kotze. It has thorns in it. It's defective. No one's gonna use this to make a brick. Okay, but I can still find some purpose for it. Chazila soka, you could use it for making a fire. Where it says, nope, it's talking about bimisura. It's like wet. It's wet, thorny straw. No one's going to use this. Okay, so chazila hesegado. 1 second. For a big fire, you could do it. So he says, yeah, but hesegado was shriach. That's not so shriach. That's so common that you're gonna have that, right? Because meaning if you have such a big fire, like you got a really gazunta flame going on there, so you could add this in and it would burn if you, but it wouldn't necessarily be good to, like, start, you know, a fire, you know, your little fire pit in your backyard. You wouldn't be able to do that. Just a little bit more grogros, right? What are the dried figs, right? So hachazile, these are, you know, fit for eating, so the guy's certainly going to remove them, so then it shouldn't be considered as if they're, like, you know, staying in that place. So Amashmo will answer b'shehit rifu. The case is when they were, like, you know, infested with, like, worms and stuff like that. When it's talking about a case where these figs are totally worm infested, so no one's going to eat these figs. No, it doesn't matter how hungry you are, no one's going to eat the worms. And therefore, since it's not edible, it's a meus, it's not going to be eaten. Therefore, it's considered to be in its place. And therefore, that's why it would be chotetz and block the tuma from transferring from one room to the other and stop the tuma's mace from spreading. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll pick it up here next time.